The book of Ezra can be broken down in two parts. Chapter 1 through chapter 6 talks about the rebuilding of the temple, the establishment of worship and sacrifice. Chapters 7 through 10 talk about the rebuilding of the people, the transformation of people inwardly. I've read this verse several times since I've been here at Greenwood. I'm going to read it again because I believe it fits so perfectly in with what we're going to talk about this morning. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. It begins by saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a holy sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we talk about Ezra this morning, and we talk about the idea of preparing with all our heart, and we talk about the preparation of our heart and what Ezra is after and what we're after in this lesson this morning is that we will be transformed individuals. That we'll allow the Word of God not just to be heard, but something will be done with it. Can I have your attention, please, this morning, everyone? It's vitally important that we realize this point. I believe this is becoming a lost lesson amongst sermons that are being preached today. We have to be transformed. It's a must. And when God's word is spoken, for those of us that are allowing God's word to transform us, it should implant an even greater desire in our lives to be more prepared. The sad reality of it is, as we look at the religious world at large today, preparation is not a big thing. Let's just take, for instance, before I actually get into this lesson, I appreciate the elders assigning me this lesson. I've learned a lot, did a lot of study, watched a lot of videos online, did a lot of research, and I am going to be a better man because of my preparation for this lesson here. Did you come here prepared to worship your God? I want to start with that this morning. Did you prepare yourself? Let me ask you a question. What did you do last night? What were you doing last night? You see, the idea of coming here with all our hearts and giving God all our heart, that's the theme for this year, it starts with preparation. I know one thing that we really try to adhere to in our house is we don't try to do a lot on Saturdays. It's not because we don't want to. It's not because it wouldn't be nice to. It's just we know what we do on Saturday affects what we do here Sunday. It has to do with preparation. And so let me ask you again the question. Have you prepared yourself to come here and worship your great God today? That's not a norm for you. I urge you to do that. I really do. I strongly urge you to do that. That is a great lesson that I have learned and I'm going to do much better with as I've prepared this lesson this morning. When we talk about the idea of Ezra and the beginning of Ezra, the book of Ezra, to the close of the book of Nehemiah, we roughly have about 150-year span. Now, some scholars will go back and forth with that, 115 to about 150, most taking the side of 150 years. So when we look at this and we think about this, Ezra and Nehemiah overlap. We see them, matter of fact, when the wall is built, we'll find that Ezra is called upon to read God's law. I know you probably talked about this before, probably even when Steve was here, because I know that you guys, when I got here, you guys all rose for the reading. I'm sure it had to do with this text here, if I'm right. Todd is shaking his head, yes. And so there's a valuable lesson in this. These overlap, and sometimes we might think, okay, they're in the same book, so it must be a short period of span. No, we're talking about from the time that the book of Ezra, when we open it up and we start in Ezra chapter 1, and we start with Cyrus in the first couple of verses, we find that God works in the heart of Cyrus. And this bringing back of God's people happens with a pagan king. That's astounding to me. But from the start of Ezra to the close of Nehemiah, we're talking about 150 year span. Zerubbabel, he's in the first group that's sent back. He comes, he's going to build the temple. It gets interrupted. Discouragement sets in. It finally gets done. Ezra comes into the picture, finds that God's people who have returned have allowed themselves to be joined with women that they should not be attached with and men that they should not be attached with. And Ezra is called upon to tell the people that they are wrong. And I'll tell you, if there's a great man in the Old Testament to study and a powerful man to lead as an example for us today of how we should live our lives, it's Ezra. And then after Ezra comes in and teaches the word, we find the wall being constructed. So we're talking about 150 year span. What's also interesting is in between Ezra chapter 6 and Ezra chapter 7, there's about a 50 year span. 58 years in between chapter 6 and chapter 7 of the book of Ezra. Why is that? Why this big gap? More importantly, was there anything going on in this 50 year span? Now think about that for just a second. Next time you read the book of Ezra, know that when you close out chapter 6 and you begin chapter 7, there's 58 years there that we know very little about as far as what was going on in the mind of God. What we do know, that there were two great wars that were fought in that time in the Grecian Empire. That's what history reveals to us. And it formed the land, it formed the group of people that Ezra went home to. The structure of the land, the makeup of the land, the makeup of the people, all were a result of this 58-year span and these two great wars. And I will not begin to pronounce them because those two wars, I'll be honest with you, I can't even say those words. But there were two great wars that were fought. And so Ezra is coming home just after all this takes place. But I'll tell you what, the biggest thing that was going on in that 58-year span was not these two wars, not the formation of the people, not the setting of the land, but the biggest thing that was going on in this 58-year span was the preparation of a man named who? Ezra. 58 years God has prepared and worked with Ezra. Ezra was preparing himself for this great task that he was going to have to undertake. And I'm here to say this morning that when we study this morning about Ezra, it takes a man of God who has prepared himself to make this kind of change happen that we'll read about this morning. Can I say that again? It takes a man of God who has prepared himself fully with all his heart to make the kind of change that happens with God's people under the leadership of Ezra. It takes a godly individual who is seeking God with all his heart and preparing himself for that great task when that task is called upon him. And it's why when we look at Ezra chapter 7, in verse 10, it says, "For." We begin with that. "For preparation with all our heart has always been and always will be a vital key to our success." It was to Nehemiah, and it is to us. And so let's begin to study this morning, if you will. I've got a few words, some Hebrew words that we're going to look at this morning because I believe that it enhances the text which we are going to study this morning. Preparation of the heart was always a key to Ezra's success. I want to notice that right from the start and keep that in our mind. We're going to talk about some of the other points in this verse, how Ezra sought after God and sought after his law. We're going to talk about the idea of doing it. We're going to talk about teaching. But I want us to start where it's most important, and that is in the preparation aspect. Think about it just a second. The Hebrew word for prepare is kwan, and it simply means firm, established, or settled. Now, I want you to keep that definition in your mind as we go through this morning's lesson. Let me say it again. When we look at this text and it says that Ezra prepared, I want you to understand it's that word kwan, and it simply means this again: firm, established, and settled. That's what it means. So as Ezra set into this great task that was set before him, a task which God selected him for, he set in it being firm, being established, and being settled. It's greatly important that we understand that aspect as we go in to this lesson this morning. I want us to also note that it's not by luck or by chance that Ezra is to lead in this special way. It wasn't a drawing of the straws, and it just so happened that Ezra drew the shortest straw. The monumental task that Ezra was set to could not be accomplished by luck, and it could not be successful with somebody who was not prepared. It's important for us to notice that from the start as well. Before we can be successful, before we can be effective in any aspect of our life, preparation is a must. And that's why I asked this morning, did you prepare yourself to come here to the house of God to worship your God? Was preparation a vital part of your process of coming here this morning? I'll tell you, if you did not prepare yourself this morning, then this worship service might have very little to offer you. That's important. Preparation and preparing with all our heart is to us and our relationship with our God. Ezra prepared his heart. He didn't prepare a meal. Money was not important to him. Matter of fact, the dear friends that Brother Phil read for us so adequately, I appreciate you reading those names. I had to read those names for an important part of this lesson, to teach an important part of this lesson. These men mattered. These people mattered. They're recorded for a reason. But I'll tell you what was not of prime importance to Ezra. It was not the people that he surrounded himself with. Important, yes, but it was not the most important thing for Ezra to do. I'll tell you, one of the keys to success is surrounding yourself with good, godly people and having a good background, having people to fall back on. It's important. But I'll tell you what trumps that every time, and that is preparation. Preparing with all our heart to meet the expectations of God. So it wasn't about a meal, it wasn't about money, it wasn't about friends, it wasn't about fun and games. It was about much more. Brother Kyle Edwards, I know you're here this morning. If you're going to be successful as a farmer who plants a field, what must he do first? He's got to prep the soil, right? I had a garden. My first garden wasn't very successful. I didn't test the soil. Brother Kyle Edwards came over, took a couple of scoops of my soil. I found out my soil was not good. So we added the stuff that was necessary, and guess what happened the following year? We had a good crop, right? I could throw seed all day long, but it's not going to make a lick of difference. I can come here and offer my worship to God, but if I've not prepared myself, if I've not given God my all, then the chances of this worship service that we are participating being highly effective, not only to us, but those around us, and more importantly, which trumps all, our relationship with our God and offering Him our best, it might not happen. Matter of fact, it will probably be next to impossible if we've not prepared our hearts. The farmer prepares his seed. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Noah prepared? Absolutely, right? The ark just didn't come together. God revealed to him how the ark was to be built, what it was, the materials that were to be used, and no doubt Noah sat down and prepared to build the ark. Matter of fact, that's what we find in scriptures being recorded for us. In this text, it teaches us that Ezra prepared his heart. His heart. The Hebrew word for heart is levia. I might be pronouncing of that wrong. And you'll have to forgive me. But it has to do with the mind, the will, the intellect. And so let's connect these two thoughts for just a second as you give me your kind attention. Remember, we talked about preparation, it being firm, established, and settled, right? That's where Nehemiah was at. He was firm, he was established, and he was settled. When we read the words prepare, that's what it means. And then it says his heart. So it says, with the heart, the mind, the will, and the intellect. So when it came to the mind, the will, and the intellect, Ezra was firm, he was established, and he was settled. What kind of lessons can we learn from that in our life today? Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 20, it says this, "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master." What's it say next? "Prepared for every good work." If I get this right, if we are going to prepare with all our heart, one of the most important aspects that we need to realize today is that we depart from sinful ways. Did you get that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 20 and 21? In a house there are vessels both that are good and both not so good, as it reveals to us. There is gold, there are vessels of gold and silver. We put them on in those fine little cabinets, we on show for everybody so that they can see. But you know what? I don't put my toilet bowl out for everybody to see. I definitely don't put my toilet scrubber brush out in the main foyer when everybody comes in and that's the first thing they see. Useful? Yes. Needed? Yes. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to our lives as a Christian, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful for the master, and prepared for every good work. What were you doing last night? Let me ask you a question. Who were you hanging around last night? Did they help you get prepared for what you're doing today? Because we know that we're to come here and give God our all. That's what we're running with this year. We're to come here and give Him our all. Matter of fact, it's not just come here, but every day of our life, we're to give Him our all. And if we're going to do that, we have to understand that takes preparation. Part of the preparation process. So that we can get our place where Ezra was at. To do the things that are godly in nature, it means turning from sinful things and sinful ways. We must make our hearts, remember we talked about that? Our hearts, our minds, our will, our intellect, our thoughts, pure and holy. And I also want to say that this work that we're cut to do as Christians today is hard. It's difficult. And I'll tell you, if we want to be a success spiritually speaking, we better be prepared. We can't enter into this walk as a Christian halfway prepared for the task that's set before us. Because I'm telling you, if we enter and we remain half ready, half prepared for the task of being a great, stable Christian, you will fail time and time and time again. I cannot express enough. One of the most valuable lessons that I've learned in preparing for this lesson is preparation is absolutely key to our success and the success of those around us. Look at Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. I wish I could spend more time talking about all the events that happen in between Ezra chapter 9 and chapter 10, but we just don't have time to do all of that. But I do want to read some of what unfolds here. Beginning at verse 1, "When these things were done, the leaders came to me, saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land.'" The next several verses record what happens here. How they've taken for themselves in verse 2, "taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons, so that the holy seed is mixed with the people of those lands. Indeed, the hand of the leaders and the rulers has been foremost in this trespass." The leaders who should know better, who should have stepped in, who should have stopped this from happening, didn't. And because they didn't, look where it got them. Ezra gets to the point that he's so ashamed of what they have done, he includes himself in this mix, that he plucks out the hair from his head, grabs whiskers from his face, and pulls them out. And we find Ezra on his knees with his hands lifted up high, asking God for forgiveness for what the people have done. He is broken. He is hurt. And he is seeking God's forgiveness for his people. Look at verse 6. And I said, "Oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you." I tell you, if there's a great lesson we need to learn pertaining to the thought of this hour, is if we have not prepared ourselves for this occasion here, we ought to feel just like Ezra did here in this verse. Ashamed. Ashamed, but yet with much resolve that we will never find ourselves in this spot being unprepared again to worship our God and be who God has called us to be. Ezra continues, I love this. Ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face before you, my God. For our iniquities, he includes himself in there. For our iniquities have risen higher than our heads. And our guilt has grown up to the heavens. Since the day of our fathers to this day, we have been very guilty. And for our iniquities, we, our kings, and our priests have been delivered into the hands of the kings of the land, to the sword, to captivity, to plunder, and to humiliation, as it is this day. This day. Ezra goes back, I don't know if you caught this, Ezra goes back to the time in captivity. And what he essentially says is we are no better now than we were then. Even though they're in Jerusalem, even though they are free, he says we are no better off than when we were in captivity. Why? Because sin was strangling them. But you know what's great about 9 and 10? Is Ezra, after he laments and mourns, after he's plucked out his beard, after he's pulled on the hair of his head, after he's tore his garments in half, he gets up and he tells the people, it's time for us to return. And the most astounding thing happens. The people leave their foreign wives, their foreign husbands, their children, and they return to where they ought to be with their relationship with their God. Listen, they were worshiping. They were sacrificing. It wasn't enough. Ezra called for the transformation of the inward being of a person. It was no longer right and proper. It was never right. But Ezra wanted to make vividly clear, you cannot go through the motions and be approved of God. You must be cleansed. And the people rise up together as one people. Surround Ezra and make the needed changes that had to happen. Listen, there are a few things I found out. I already knew, but to refresh our memory, pertaining to Ezra. Ezra was not only a priest. He was the descendant of Aaron, which would make him fall in that line of being a priest. But what he was also, which was uniquely different than most other of in that day and time, is he was also a scribe. Did you catch that? In Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7 and in verse 6, this Ezra came up from Babylon. That was captivity. He's come up from captivity. And it says this, and he was a skilled scribe in the what? The law of Moses. Let me tell you what, if you want to get your inward parts clean, you want to get your mind where it needs to be, that's not going to happen at a fellowship meal where we all come together and encourage each other. It's not going to happen there. Where it's going to happen is a study of God's Word. That's what it teaches us here. Ezra was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses. So as Ezra spoke, he didn't just speak as a priest. Ezra was speaking with somebody that understood, that had time with God's Word. He had prepared himself to reveal this wonderful message to the people of God. He was prepared for this great, great task. Well, what was his task? Very quickly, I'm not going to remain too long on these last points. I want to spend the majority of the time talking about the slide that we talked about. And we've done that. The first point simply being this. He prepared his heart to seek. To seek. A lot of us do a lot of seeking, don't we? But seeking in this case, and seeking after what Ezra was seeking after, made him a success in the work that God called him to. Let me ask you a question before we go any further. How many of us, raise your hand if you want to be an utter disgrace and a mishap when it comes to being a Christian? Raise your hand if that's you. None of us want that, do we? Matter of fact, if I asked you the question this morning, how many of you want to be a success as a Christian? How many of us would then raise our hands? All of us would, wouldn't we? We want to be a success, don't we, Sister Betty? We don't want to be a failure. And neither did Ezra. Called upon in this great task, Ezra did not want to fail in this great task that God set out for him to do. And so Ezra sought with all his heart. The word seek, hopefully it's on the board there, and it didn't let me down. I know it's small, and I apologize for that. I'm working in a different way of presenting this type of material, so you'll have to bear with me. If it's too small in the first of every month, the first Sunday of every month, push forward. Come forward and sit at the front because we're going to find there's going to be some information I'm going to want to put on the board that you might not be able to see at the back. This word seek comes from the word darash, and it means to go after, to pursue, to search, and it carries the emphasis of diligence. And so when we talk about this idea that Ezra, in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, for Ezra prepared his heart to seek, when we realize that, to seek, it's the idea of going after, to pursue, to search, and to do so diligently. Ezra put in his mind that he would not fail. He would not fail in this aspect of seeking. He would seek and he would find. And he would not rest until he found. I remember many years ago, sitting outside our house in Berksville, Kentucky, sometime around the same time of the year right now, the first snow had fallen. I was outside fooling around with our dog, Daisy. And in the process of fooling around with our dog, Daisy, I lost my wedding ring. 20 yards from my front, my back door, but that's the door we used. 20 yards. Snow had fallen, and we, both of us, Heather, who hates the cold, on her hands and knees, rummaging through the snow to try and find this ring. And I'll tell you what, we searched for a long time that day. I searched a long time the next day. When the snow melted, guess where I was at? Searching to find that ring. But you know what eventually happened? I gave up. And a man next door was over, I don't even remember what he was over for, but he was talking to me and I told him I lost my ring and he said, I've got the solution. I've got a metal detector. And he went and got it and within 10 minutes he found my wedding ring. You see, that's how many of us are as Christians, aren't we? We seek, but when it gets a little hard, we give up. We give up. There's a valuable lesson that we can learn here in the idea of seeking with all our heart from Ezra. The point is, Ezra found the law worthy of diligent study. When he thought about God's word, he said, this is worthy. It's worthy of my attention. It's worthy of my time. It's worthy of my preparation. And you know what? I'm going to spend the time that is due to get where I need to be in seeking God's law. Does just the minimum do for you? Let me ask you a question. Last time that you were at a hamburger joint that you've waited and longed to go eat at, what if they brought out to you a hamburger where the outside had a nice crust on it, but the rest of it was just blood-ridden? Would you want to eat that? Now, wait a minute. They threw it on the grill for just a few minutes. We wouldn't want that, would we? Let me pose a different way of challenging us to look deeper in our relationship and our pursuit of preparation with all our heart to our God. Let me tell you something I've come to figure out with the book of Ezra and studying the life of Ezra. I think for many of us, we look at our relationship with God, and if we're here Sunday morning, we're here Sunday night, and we're here Wednesday night, we're a strong Christian. And those who are only here Sunday morning are weak Christian. Now, we might not want to admit that, but that's sometimes how we think. Let me go even further with that. Let me ask you a question. If you're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, have you done all that there is to seek God with all your heart? I see you all shaking your head. No, we haven't, have we? We haven't. You see, what I've come to find out about worshiping our God and seeking after God with all our heart, because that's what we're talking about, seeking after God with all our heart, Sunday a.m., Sunday p.m., and Wednesday night are not enough. That's the minimum. That's the bare minimum that we can do for God in our relationship with Him, to come together and worship God and give Him our praise collectively to the best of our ability. But I'll tell you, that's the minimum. What about Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? What are we doing those days? You see, it's not enough, and we can't claim that we're seeking God with all our heart when all we're doing is studying 2 days a week. More is needed, desperately needed. And Ezra, as we looked at just a second ago, he was a scribe, but it says that he was a skilled scribe. He was somebody that spent time in God's Word, not just a couple of days a week, but every day for long periods of time. Let me ask you a question. What if you're really sick, deathly sick? Let me pose this worship thing in a different way. Maybe it'll help make a little more sense to you. I know it did for me. You're deathly sick. You've been to the doctors. The doctors have not given you the right answers. You are still struggling. You are deathly sick. But you've been to the doctor 3 times. Are you going to give up? Are you going to say, well, I've spent 3 hours with the doctor with the sickness. That's enough. None of us have that mentality, do we? We're going to spend the time, the effort, the money that's needed, studying online, asking questions to our friends. We're really going to try to find an answer for our health problems because it's dire. It's a desperate situation that we're in. Tell you, when we make up our mind, remember we talked about that? That's what this whole lesson is about, preparing and preparation with all our heart. When we have made up our mind to do something, we will not rest until it's accomplished. Ezra was seeking the law with all his heart. Law. The Hebrew word for that, because we're back in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is Torah, with a rolling R, which I can't do. Maybe it's because I'm Canadian. But it simply means binding rule, instruction, or direction. So now we're really getting to the heart of it. Ezra was seeking, but he wasn't seeking after meals, as we said. Ezra is seeking after God's law. What was he seeking after? He was seeking after instruction. He was seeking after leadership from God. And he wasn't going to rest until he acquired it from God. Turn with me over to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. You might say, well, he's got two more points to get through. We're going to be sitting here a long time. No, the last two slides are going to go very, very quickly. Psalm 19 in verses 7 beginning. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right and rejoicing from the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. He goes on to say in verses 10 and 11, more are to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them, what's it say? There is great reward. Dear brother, dear sister in Christ, the blessed man that we read about in Psalm chapter 1 is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he meditates, as it teaches us here, and his law he meditates how much? Day and night. day and night. Not just Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. But he meditates day and night. Let me ask you a question. You want to be happy in your life? Seek God's law with all your heart. Prepare your minds to seek God's law. I'm going to go through this very, very, very quickly. Ezra was willing to do with all his might as well. Doing with all our hearts and applying it to Ezra was key to Ezra's success. Do is the Hebrew word. It's pronounced asses, I believe. It means to accomplish, to practice fully to the end, to produce an act, to do. Now think about that for just a second. You are somebody that's prepared. You've prepared your mind. You've sought God's law. You've found God's law. Now what? Now what? There might be some who are sitting here this morning that might hear something contrary to what you believe or you've been taught all your life. But it's in God's Word. What are you going to do? Maybe you said the sinner's prayer and you weren't baptized. What are you going to do when you hear the truth? You see, it's not just enough to prepare with all our heart. It's not just enough to seek. More is needed. We have to do. And that's what Ezra did. Let me ask you a question. I was going to pick on Brother Todd because he's normally sitting at the front, but he's at the back. Let me ask you a question, Brother Todd. What did you do when you found the girl of your dreams? Pursued her, right? Did you prepare first? Yes. You did, didn't you? You took a shower, you shaved, you cleaned up, didn't you? You wanted to go over there smelling nice, didn't you? And then what did you do? You sought her, didn't you? And then when you found her, what did you do? You asked her for a number, didn't you? Asked her out on a date. You see how that works? You see how silly it would be for Todd to find Sister Tammy, right? Prepare himself to find her, seek after her, and be face to face and not say a word. You think the beautiful children that they have made would be here today? Maybe, maybe not. But you see, that's the difference between that analogy and the success that Ezra had. Ezra was not going to be a hypocrite. He wasn't going to prepare himself. He wasn't going to study God's law, know God's law, and then fail when it came to doing. Ezra lived the life that he was called to live in front of the people that were watching him. Ezra had prepared, sought, and then did. Can I emphasize something? He didn't try. He did. And that's part of seeking with all our heart. Some of us try, but we give up. That wasn't Ezra. Ezra sought with all his heart until the end. Much was going to be accomplished. Get this slide up here for you, and we close with this morning. Ezra taught with all his heart as well. Listen, when you study Ezra and you start going through all the things that Ezra went through in his life, the pulling of the beard, the pulling of the hair, the standing up in front of crowds of people, telling them that they are wrong, Ezra taught with all his heart. He used the knowledge that he sought after with God's law and presented it to God's people with all his heart. And it had a tremendous effect on those that heard. Teach. Comes from the Hebrew word, lamad. It means to be taught, trained, instructed, and has the expressed definition of expert. Ezra was fully prepared to teach. He was fully prepared to teach. He wanted to share it with all his heart. What Ezra had found was this wonderful treasure, and he was going to give it to God's people with all his heart. He couldn't hold it back. He had to share. I wonder what valuable lesson that we can learn from Ezra in this application here. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 teaches us to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I think it's high time for us as Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, to not only live the life that God has called us to live, but open our mouths and share the teachings of our Lord. To have courage like Ezra. to stand up on a wooden platform which was made for that special purpose of presenting God's Word and do it, present it in its fullest, and do so with all our might. All. We've been talking about this Word. I want to close with this because I believe it's a powerful point in what we've been running with today, and I appreciate you bearing with me. All comes from the Greek word kol. It simply means whole and entire. Whole and entire. Brethren, that's what's going to take for us to be a spiritual success on this side of eternity. It's going to take us, our whole and our entire being, to prepare to meet our Lord someday. I appreciate the song that's been selected. Turn with me over there this morning. Are you prepared to meet your Lord? I know this is a time usually in the worship service. That's why I've asked you to grab your books. You should be over there now. Can I have your attention back? I know when we say that's the conclusion of service, everybody kind of shuts down and we start looking at our songbooks. You got that song open that Brother Jackson's going to lead us in, 829. Please give me your attention back. And honestly answer this morning for yourself. I don't know your heart. I won't judge your heart. I can judge actions just like you can judge actions. Are you truly prepared to meet your Lord this morning? Have you prepared to meet the Lord? Because none of us are guaranteed this afternoon. I'm battling with pneumonia. And I'll tell you, I feel like I'm dying. I truly do. With each breath, I feel like I'm getting less breath. I feel like I'm dying. That might happen. Who knows? I'm not guaranteed tonight. But what I am guaranteed is the moment that I'm in. And this is a time of reflection for us. It's a time for all of us to take the lesson that has been taught and apply it to our own lives. Have we fully prepared ourselves to meet our God with all our heart? If you haven't, this is a time for you to respond to God favorably. He's been good to you. He's granted you time to get that right with Him. How dare we as His children turn our face from Him and all the goodness that He's demonstrated to us? If you are falling short this morning in your preparing with all your heart to meet Him, repent of that now. Ask God for forgiveness and get back on the right track again. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you've not yet become a child of God, what's holding you back? What's holding you back? I'll tell you what's not holding you back is anybody this morning. If you don't respond this morning, it's because you don't respond. It's not because anybody's holding you back. We desire it. God desires it. God sent His Son to die on the cross for you. As we studied in our class, John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. So if you don't respond this morning, it's because of your selfish will. You yet once again want to kick against God. God, I know You sent Your Son. I know You're calling me. I know the brethren want me. But you know what? I'm not going to do it this morning. Don't be that person. Respond in loving kindness this morning by submitting your will and your mind and your heart wholly and completely. Remember, we just talked about that entirely to God. Let Him add you to His family. Rich blessing, the richest blessing you'll ever gain in your life is becoming a child of God and being part of this wonderful family. The lesson's yours. Prepare to meet your God as we stand and as we sing.